Amen. Well, are you ready for the word this morning, church? All right. I want you this morning to open your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want to look at verses 1 through 5, and then I want to drop down to verses 15 to 17. And the title of the message this morning is You Have Been Chosen. You have been chosen. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us this morning, listen, and locate us as a body and locate some of you individually. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I want you to notice in this verse that something happens to every branch. Something happens. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it what? Why does he purge it? That it might bring forth more fruit. So what he is saying, church, is even if you're a branch that bears fruit, there's got to be a purging. Why? Because you got to bring forth more fruit. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh away, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Church, just these five verses. My God, I could preach all day on these verses. Just these five verses are packed with insight and direction in our walk with the Lord. And it is also packed with prophetic utterances that locate just where we are as the rising and where we are going. It's a word, I believe, from the Spirit for us. Go down to verse 15 now. Verse 15 to 17. Verse 15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Look at your neighbor and say, chosen. Go back to verse 16. Go back to verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Look at your neighbor again and say, chosen. Chosen. Let's pray before we start. Let's pray before we start. Father God, we want your anointing this morning to permeate this room. Father, we want your anointing to saturate us, to impart life to us, to change us, to inspire us, to motivate us, to correct us, Lord, and to minister to us. Lord, we open ourselves up to you this morning to receive all you would have for us. We ask you to speak to us by your Spirit. We open our hearts to be available to you. We ask you to have your way this day with us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And before I start, Let's welcome back to the house this morning, Miss Denise Brown. And check this out, church, sporting her new afro. She came afro ready too. I've never seen that look. If you show a picture of me in the 80s next to Denise, we could be twins. All right, church, back to John 15. Jesus in this text this morning is speaking to disciples in the final moments of his ministry. He's speaking to them just before the fulfillment of all the prophecy about him and before he is taken away from them. So he's speaking to disciples in the final moments of ministry that he has on earth. And I realize just saying that, just speaking that, I realize how important it is to pay close attention to final words. Anytime you hear, "finally, my brethren," or "in conclusion of the whole matter," then your ear needs to listen with a greater intensity, because it is the teacher's last attempt to convey profound, life-changing truth before he exits the stage and you lose the opportunity. And in this text, we are allowed of the Holy Spirit an awesome opportunity to listen to not just what Jesus was preaching to the masses or the multitudes, but what he was speaking. We are allowed the opportunity here to hear what Jesus was speaking to his inner circle, to his inner chamber, to the people that are closest to him. And church, there's a difference between what you share with people in general and what you share with your inner circle or your confidants or your confidant. There's a greater intensity, a greater fervency, a greater transparency, a greater nakedness when you're sharing with a confidant or your inner circle. And we are listening here in John 15 to a word that is being imparted to the disciples that is strong meat. No baby food, no pablum. We are listening here in this text at a word that is being imparted into Jesus' disciples with such tenacity and intensity in order to prepare them to face the afflictions of the days to come. And I'm going to tell you something, church. It takes a lot of word to get down in you to prepare you so you can face scaffolds and abuse and hangman's noose and being skinned alive and being crucified upside down and burned and sewn asunder. It takes a real word, church, not just a ta-ta or hallelujah or glory to God. It takes a real word, because when circumstances challenge your faith, then you're going to see whether it is really real, rooted and grounded in word or in feeling. And it is a challenge. Anytime that you know that you are preparing people who are going to be on the hit list of hell, you have to drill them intensely until the word, listen, is not just on them, it's in them. Until it's hidden down in the cracks and crevices of their heart. Until they are so pregnant with destiny that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that neither height nor depth nor powers nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor any other creature or anything else will be able to separate you from the love of God. See, it's that kind of message. It's that, that's the flow of John 15. That's the tenor of the text. It's the atmosphere of the text. We are listening to Jesus here have a discussion with his inner circle, and he is teaching them something that I am not sure the church really understands the fullness of or the depth and dimensions of. He is teaching them about relationship and the significance of relationship. We are always talking in the church about discipleship and reproducing ourselves in someone else. But you cannot have reproduction where there is no relationship. Reproducing yourself in someone, church, it takes much time. It takes intense relationship. So Jesus begins to talk about relationship at the beginning of this text, and he starts off by saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, I take it away. And every branch in me that beareth fruit, I purge it, that it might bring forth more fruit. He wants them to understand who they are in relationship to him. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. See, church, if you don't understand your place in the kingdom, watch, you will find yourself trying to do something only God can do. Many, many Christians are frustrated because we are spending all of our energy trying to be our own God. We're trying to solve our own problems. We're trying to answer our own prayers. We're trying to promote our own ministries. We're trying to climb up the ladder of success. We are trying to bless ourselves, heal ourselves, deliver ourselves, and we're trying to cover up for God because God's not doing it quick enough. And we are standing in like a substitute teacher trying to make God look good through human efforts, and it cannot be done. I am the vine, he says. I'm the vine. You're the branch. What you have to do, listen, what you have to do is hang on to me and stay connected. You got to stay connected to the vine. All you got to do is get in your place. Oh, too many people are out of place. Or they are trying to be in a place, watch, that they shouldn't be. People that have no vision, no foresight, narrow in their thinking, people that are speaking out of their flesh, people that have no pulse on this church or the people of this church, speaking out of their flesh like experts. Wow. Out of place. Out of place, church. God says, all you got to do is get in your place and trust me and stay connected. Now, however, the important thing is that, watch, is that you have a real godly connection, not with church, because many of us are so connected with church that we're not connected to God. That there's nothing wrong with the church. We're trying to build a church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, church, I'm not talking about the church as a living organism. The church is supposed to be a living organism that is alive and functions organically. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, watch, the organization, the structure, the order, the religiosity, the positions, the flow chart. How can I protect my territory? What is my job description? Am I being used enough? Are they calling on me enough? Have I reached the point of my success? Can I move up the ladder of success? Can I be seen here? I mean, can I get the platform I need in this ministry to reach the point that God... Oh, shut up. Just shut up. You know, church, we talk as if there's no God at all. We talk, we struggle for positions. Oh, like Saul, we're worried about the position instead of like David, who was worried about the presence of God. Oh, my Lord. You know what? You hardly ever hear anybody going to an altar saying, make me better, Lord. Most of the time, it's make me bigger, Lord. Or make me more successful. Or make me more recognized. I am the vine. You are the branches. If I had time, I would go to another chapter and talk about how we are grafted into the vine. You know, anytime something is grafted, that means that, watch, that means that the bark of the branch of the vine has to be cut so that the branch might be connected. How was Jesus cut? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank God for the Roman soldier that pierced him in the side, because it opened up a way that you and I, might be grafted into the covenant of Abraham and receive the blessings of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I don't deserve it, but I'm blessed. It's not my performance. It's not me. It's not my flesh. I'm blessed. Why am I blessed, church? Because I got tied into a blessed vine. I'm a blessed branch because I got tied in to a blessed vine. You better look at the person next to you and tell them this. You ought to be glad you're sitting beside me today. Tell them that. You ought to be glad you're not sitting by some bound up, broke down, hateful, angry, frustrated somebody. You're sitting by somebody who is blessed. The hand of the Lord is on your life. Blessed. I'm not blessed because you say I'm blessed. I don't have to meet you in order to be blessed. You don't even have to encourage me in order to be blessed. As long as I meet God and stay connected to him, I'll always be blessed. Church, I'm blessed through the vine. I'm delivered through the vine. My promises are in the vine. My business is in the vine. My destiny's in the vine. My future's in the vine. Everything I need is in the vine. What I've got to do, listen, is stay connected. I got to stay connected. I just want to stay connected. I just want to stay hooked up. I just want to be grafted in. In fact, if the word grafted means to be tied in. It means to be knotted together into the cells of the branch. Ooh, and the branch and the vine have fused together, and you become one with the Lord. Ooh, what a place to be. What a place to be. He says in this text, watch, he says, don't waste your energy trying to fix what doesn't work. Watch, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, I take it away. Don't waste your energy trying to fix what doesn't work. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, I'll take it away. He says that everything that bears no fruit, I'll move it. Our struggle, church, our struggle is to understand that even the good branch, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he says, I purge it that it might bring forth more fruit. My God, he says, I'm going to take the best of the branches, those that remained and were not cut away. He said, they may not be cut away, but I'm going to cut them back. That's what the church doesn't talk about. We talk about addition, but not subtraction. We talk about multiplication, but not division. We have not told people that you can be a good branch, tied into a good vine, receiving good source, produce good fruit, and lose it. Jesus says, every branch in me that beareth fruit, I purge it. I cut it back. It's mine, but I'm still going to cut it. I've got a plan for it, but I'm still going to cut it. There's a prophecy over your life, but I'm still going to cut. There's a prophecy over this church, but I'm still going to cut. Church, I can't even tell you, I have prayed and cried out to the Lord and asked him, why did we work so hard to bring healing and restoration to this church and a new direction and a freshness in messages and worship and an emphasis on relationships and a different type of biblical community and all beginning to put all these other things together? Why did we do all that work and work so hard just to be hanging on by a thread, by the skin of our teeth, and feeling like we are still going backwards? Struggling financially, help is scarce, leaders are dropping like flies, attendance is down. We aren't a large enough congregation to sustain this building. And yet, church, so many people are coming and getting help and encouragement and being blessed. And I could go on, and yet it feels like we're going backwards. So I cry out to the Lord and pray, why, Lord? What is the answer? And the Spirit of the Lord took me to this passage. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, I purge it. I cut it back. And why? I said, Lord, why? Because I'm still cutting away. I'm still cutting away legalism. I'm still cutting away certain mindsets. I'm still cutting away certain ways you thought about God in the past. I'm still cutting away. I'm still cutting away methodologies and programs and things that are not in season for this body now. Why, Lord? Why are you cutting away? I'm cutting away so that you will have more fruit that becomes permanent and will remain, as the text says. Good, good. Watch this, church. You know what a real vine dresser? You know what a real vine dresser does? This amazed me. A real vine dresser often will severely prune the branches that produce fruit. Why does he do that? Why does a real vine dresser severely prune the branches that produce fruit? Because that vine dresser knows if he severely prunes those branches, that it will result in a more abundant harvest in the next season. My Lord Jesus. Even some of the good things that have been done, God is still cutting away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Some fruit may remain. Some will be cut away. But every branch has got to be cut back. Every branch. Fruit grows in seasons. And the reason God is cutting back some of the branches is because, church, even if it's good fruit, it might not be in season. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And listen, when the branches are cut, they don't look good. And one thing Christians hate to do is look bad. We got to look good at all costs. Come on, you know we do. We don't have to feel good, we don't have to be good, but we got to look good. We cannot afford to let anybody know we're having a bad day. We must look good. But church, God says, if you walk with me, sometimes you're going to look bad. You're going to be mine, and I'm going to put you on display. And sometimes you're going to look bad. I'm going to cut you back. I'm going to purge you. You're going to see decrease. You're going to have less. Something that you thought would always be there is going to go. And listen, God says that you're going to have to trust me and stay connected to me when things look like they are going backwards. Now, anybody can believe God when things are going forwards. That's not real faith. It takes real faith to believe God when things seem to be going backwards. Some of us, church, some of us are trying to hold on to the little fruit we got. Listen. Some of us are trying so hard to hold on to what this church used to be instead of getting in the flow and direction of the Holy Spirit, what he wants this church to be now. And we're spending all of our energy trying to keep something that God wants to cut. You know why we do that? The reason we do that is because people do not believe if we lose this, that we can get anything else better. But I dare you, church. I dare you to make up your mind that if this goes, God will give us something else better. I dare say if you go, God will send somebody else. I dare you to get the spirit of release. I dare you. And to get to the point where you're able to let things go. It takes real faith to open up your hand to God and say, I trust you even when it goes. I trust you when people go. I trust you when relationships go. I trust you when friends go. If I would have needed it, you would have kept it with me. It takes great peace to accept the times and the seasons you're in. It takes great peace to keep a cool head in a hot storm. It takes great peace to take bad news with a good attitude. It takes great peace, church, to stop trying to manipulate your life and everybody who gets in your life, trying to make it all work out and how you want it to turn out. It takes great peace not to do that and step back and let God do it. Because he says, he tells us that he's going to take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. He's going to walk us up steps and stages. You can't get to the second step holding on to the first one. In other words, church, we can't get on with the future holding on to the past. We got to let go of then so we can have a now. And I say this for somebody in here. Some of you are aborting your own prophecy. Some of you are aborting your own destiny because you keep trying to save what God has purged. You're trying to hold on to relationships, listen, that God has moved you away from. God says in the text, he says, I want to take you from fruit to more fruit. And in order for you to get to more fruit, watch, you got to give up what you got. Somebody say, give it up. Give it up. Say it again, give it up. He says he wants to take you through three stages. From fruit to more fruit to much fruit. He says, I want you to be so blessed. Church, he's not talking about blessed with things. That's not the context of this. And that's not even what blessed means. Blessed doesn't mean without problems or everything in your life is hunky-dory. It's talking about blessed in your spirit, blessed in your wisdom, blessed in your relationship, blessed in your attitude, blessed in your disposition. When you get around people that are blessed, listen, when you get around people that are blessed like that, and again, I'm not talking about things or money. Some of the most blessed people I know have very little. But when you get around people that are blessed, I'm talking about, like I said, blessed in their spirit, blessed in their wisdom, blessed in their relationships, blessed in their attitude, blessed in their disposition, their presence is a blessing. When you get around blessed people like that, it's contagious. I'm not talking about this phony stuff in the church. I'm blessed, or putting on a mask and pretending. I'm not talking about that. But you can tell. You can tell when a real spirit of blessing is on somebody. You can just walk in a room and sense it. If you're sitting beside somebody blessed, you can tell. You can also tell when you're sitting behind somebody hateful. Can't you tell? Come on, can't you tell? You know you can tell, even in church. You can tell. Now see, everybody started smiling because you didn't want to look hateful. I see, I know you. Some of you were sitting there looking so hateful, and all of a sudden you smiled because you didn't want to look hateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It says, I'm going to take you from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. And he says, watch, he says, if you abide in me, watch, if you can stick it out, if you can take a licking and keep on ticking. If you can stand in the storm and the wind and the rain, if you can see things and people and circumstances come and see them go and still stick around, if you abide in me, ye shall ask what ye will anything, and it shall be given unto you. Now, church, he's not saying that if you meet this condition, if you abide in me, God is going to be Santa Claus or the magic genie that will just give you anything you want. Remember, the context of the whole passage is about relationships and life and things that have to be cut back or cut out of your life in order for you to bear more fruit. That's the context. So what he is saying is that there's a greater degree of power that is given to survivors, to people who persevere, to people who stand. Watch, there's a difference in the anointing. You can't get that kind of anointing off of a tape or from a book. I got as many CDs and tapes and books as anybody, but you can't get it out of a tape or a book. But when you go through the furnace of affliction and you persevere and you come up out of that struggle, God will give you an anointing. I want to tell you, church, the anointing is expensive. It costs you everything to walk up under a real anointing. You got to leave some things in your life. You got to leave some things behind in order to walk under a real anointing. Listen, if you ever trade in that little cutesy, hotsy, totsy Sunday morning anointing and get you some real power in the Holy Ghost, it will cost you too much to let anybody get on your nerves and take your anointing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, he goes on in the text to say, I'm bringing you to a place where your relationship has changed. This is where he's bringing us, church. He says, I'm bringing you to a place where your relationship has changed. I'm bringing you to a turning point. He says, henceforth, from here on out, after this, after I speak this, henceforth, watch, he says, I call you no longer servants, but friends. I'm bringing you from servitude, watch, where you walked around my church just functioning without having any insight into my mindset. I'm bringing you from servant to friend. Now, are we just going to walk around functioning? I mean, it's good to function. It's good to be a functioning church, but are we going to just walk around functioning, or are we going to go from servant to friend and get God's mindset for what he has for this church now? Church, we can walk around. We can walk around here doing the things we normally do, reprogramming the church the way we used to, and still have no idea of what the Lord is really doing. He says in verse 15, he says, I call you no longer servants, but friends. Watch, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. He said, at this stage in your relationship with me, I'm going to unveil to you my purpose, my plan, and my will. Then he says something really strange. He says, ye have not chosen me. Jesus said that. Well, I said, wait a minute, Lord. I was the one who walked up to that altar. I was the one, Lord, who decided to go to church that day when they sang the song. I was the one, Lord, who decided, well, I ain't got nothing to lose, so I might as well go to the altar. I was the one that got up and walked to the altar. I was the one that got down on my knees. I said the prayer, and I believed God, and I got saved. Didn't I? And he says, no, you didn't. He said, I put the desire in your heart to come to church. I kept you safe that day. He said, I brought you through the hospital. He said, I brought you through your trials and traumas. He said, I brought you to the right church at the right time to hear the right message at the right hour. I put faith down in your heart. I told your knees to stand up. I told your ankles to move. I brought you to that altar and let you see what you thought was foolishness was really real. Why? Because God chose me. And he chose you. Tell your neighbor, I'm chosen. You're not sitting by some little Ramsey pansy, broke down somebody. I'm chosen. Tell him again, I'm chosen. You know what that means, church? That I'm the man for the job. That's what it means. That means, can nobody do what I do like I do it? That sounds like a good song. Can nobody do what I do like I do it? Church, I don't have to be jealous of nobody. Because nobody can beat me being me. I am the best Charlie Simonka in this world. You are the best Sam Spears in this world. You are the best Louise Arline in this world. When God wants you, he uses you. When God wants you, he uses you. When God wants you, he uses you. You don't have to be jealous of anybody. You can, listen, you cannot be copied. You cannot be mimicked. You cannot be duplicated. You got your own anointing. You got your own unction. You got your own presence, and you got your own style. Tell your neighbor, be yourself. I'm chosen. You don't have to be jealous. You're chosen. You don't have to be intimidated by anybody. You're chosen. I don't have to be afraid because I'm chosen. I don't have to compete with anybody because I'm chosen. Can nobody do what God anointed me to do? I'm chosen. Listen, you might be more educated, more qualified, more attractive, better built, taller, smaller, shorter, whatever you think is good. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When you're really chosen, you can take less and do more with it. Chosen. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I say. See, you know why? You went after the giant with all your swords and chariots, and he laughed at you. David took a rag and a rock, a little old homemade weapon, a much of nothing weapon, and killed the giant, because when you're chosen, you can take less and do more with it. Chosen. Church, I believe this church is chosen. To carve out, watch, to carve out new ground, to carve out a new path, because we have much less than we had before, and we're going to be able to do more with less because we are chosen. We are chosen to be a sanctuary for the wounded. Let me shout it out now on the rooftops. Those who have been abused by the church system, who have been disillusioned and disappointed, come on up for the rising. Come on over here. We are chosen to give you a place of healing and rest. Chosen. Listen to me, church. Not just chosen to preach or teach. Some of you have been chosen to raise a special child. You know what? Nobody has that anointing to raise that child but you, Janaira. Nobody. Nobody has that anointing. Nobody has that anointing to raise that child but you. I'm going to start prophesying in a minute. I just talked to Gwen yesterday. She must have spilled something over on me. Anybody else wouldn't be able to handle it, but you're chosen. Somebody in here is chosen to live with somebody that other people couldn't live with. That's why you can't let anybody counsel you about your companion, because they will tell you, honey, if that were me, I wouldn't take it. Well, that's not you. You can't take it. She's chosen. Chosen to pastor a church. Everybody else went to the church and just went crazy. Couldn't take it. Couldn't do anything with it. And when you got there, what was somebody else's mess became your blessing because you're chosen. Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you." Look around this room. Just look around. There's about 100 people or so in here. Look around. See if you see another you in here. I don't see no. I see one Jesse. Wait a minute. Is there another one? God help us if there are not. You only see what? Do you see anybody like you? There's nobody. Listen. Listen. There's nobody like you in the world. Now listen to me. You might meet that rare person or persons or rare person that's just like you, that you're so similar with and that you see yourself in. That's all true. They could almost be you. But even with that kind of similarity, there's still nobody exactly like you in the world. Listen, you have absolutely no competition. You are a pre-cut piece of lumber. Pre-cut, predestined, predetermined to fit into a particular place in history that nobody else can fit but you. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm the one for the job." You got a special anointing. You got a special anointing. Church, did you know the anointing knows you? Did you know that? The spirit world knows you. The demons let us know that, don't they? Well, that when they said, "Well, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Who are you?" They let us know. They let us know. In the Old Testament, When Samuel came to the house of Jesse, and I'm going to close with this. In the Old Testament, when Samuel came to the house of Jesse to anoint a king over Israel, and he looked at all of Jesse's seven sons, because the eighth one had not been presented. He saw, and so he sees the one that he thinks would be a good king. Listen, church, the prophet almost made a mistake. A true prophet almost made a bad mistake going by what he saw. The only thing that stopped the mistake, you know what stopped the mistake? When he raised the horn of oil, which represents the anointing, over his head. When he raised the horn of oil over the head of that son, he thought would be a good king. Watch, the oil would not flow. It would not flow. And Samuel said, something is wrong here. Something's wrong here. The anointing told him that there is another son. Have you got another son? Because the anointing is not coming on this guy. And when they brought David in and they lifted up the horn of oil, and the oil began to flow like a river. What am I saying to you, church? What am I saying to you? I'm telling you what God has for you. No devil in hell can take it from you. The anointing, watch, the anointing knows exactly who you are. The anointing knows when to cut back. The anointing knows when to increase. And the anointing knows when to raise you up. You have not chosen me, Jesus says. I have chosen you. And when, listen, when God gets through cutting the branches and cutting back, we are going to see, I believe this with everything in me, when God gets through cutting the branches and cutting back, we are going to see some permanent tasting, lasting fruit produced, church, for such a time as this. If you got anything this morning out of this, clap your hands to the Lord, lift your hands and open your mouth and praise God this morning for the Spirit speaking to us. We're going to close our service, church. We're going to close our service in jubilee. Okay, in jubilee, praising God together and thanking God and rejoicing in the fact that we are chosen. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you this morning.